If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
We're continuing our series, No Limits, Believing God for the Impossible. We've talked about falling walls. We've talked about waking up to a miracle. We've talked about God fighting our battles and giving us the victory. And I want to encourage you today. Today's sermon will be a little bit different. You'll see how in a few moments. But we're continuing. We said at the outset, if you weren't here, that if we all agree that God is omnipotent, that is, He's all-powerful, we believe that. We believe that He's a loving God and good God who wants to give good gifts to us and do good things for us. You believe that? Then it logically follows that the only limitation on what God does for us is our lack of faith, our putting limitations on what God does. I don't know about you, but I don't want to limit God. So that's why the title of our message is, of our series is No Limits, Believing God for the Impossible. Matthew chapter 14 says, begin reading with verse number 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind had died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The title of my message this morning is How Not to Experience the Impossible. How not to experience the impossible. Many times we learn how to accomplish something or see something by first understanding how not to do it. And that's our focus. I told you this would be different today. You know, anyone who has been in the church world any length of time has heard testimonies of how other believers have literally experienced the impossible. How God has performed miracles in their lives. Have you heard those kind of stories? Sure you have. And more than one believer has said something like this: "Why do things like that never happen to me?" Perhaps you've heard that. Perhaps maybe even you've said that. I want to be clear this morning, while it is completely up to the sovereign God if, when, and how he will perform miracles on behalf of his children, there are nevertheless things that believers often do which keep them from experiencing the impossible in their lives. In other words, God is sovereign. He can do anything he wants at any time. But we often do things without realizing it that limit the impossible in our lives. Today I want to share four ways that believers unintentionally and unknowingly prevent the occurrence of miracles in their lives. As I mentioned them, consider whether or not these practices are prevalent in your life. Now, in the story that we read here from Matthew 14, Jesus sent the disciples on ahead of him across the water in the boat, and the storm came up. And he came walking to them on the water in the middle of the night. And that sets the stage for our message this morning. Now, keep in mind, Jesus had sent them. They were right where they needed to be. And yet the storm arose. And that's another whole sermon by itself, okay? That sometimes we say, oh, these problems arise. I must be out of God's will. Not necessarily. How many know problems arise when we're in the center of God's will? Just a casual reading of the New Testament will tell you that. So they were where God wanted them to be. Now, as we look through this story, and I share ways that believers limit the impossible in their lives, I want you to see Peter got some of this right, and he got some of it wrong. So in some cases, it's going to be do what Peter did. In other cases, it's going to be don't do what Peter did, okay? Sound confusing? You'll get the hang of it as we go along. So how not to experience the impossible, the miraculous in your life. Number one, the first thing to do to limit or to prevent the impossible from occurring in your life is this. Rely exclusively on your initial assumptions. Surefire way to block a miracle. Rely exclusively on your initial assumptions. Jesus came walking to them on the water. It was dark, it was stormy, it was misty. And they saw him. And what did they say in verse 26? It's a ghost. Why did they say that? Well, because the assumption was people don't walk on water. Those made of flesh and bone. Now, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also the God-man. He was human. He was fully divine, but he was fully human. And he was walking to them on the water. How many know people don't walk on water? It's not physiologically possible, is it? And so they said, they concluded, they followed their assumption. It must be a ghost. We often lead ourselves astray when we rely exclusively on our initial assumptions. Now, we're human beings. We see things. We filter it through our, you know, computer, otherwise known as a brain, and we filter it through our known experiences, and we make conclusions. We make assumptions. That's normal. That's human. But what I'm suggesting to you today is that what hinders God from doing the impossible in your life is to rely exclusively on your initial assumptions and to figure, if this is what I assume it to be, it must be reality. They said it has to be a ghost because people don't walk on water. And yet their initial assumption was wrong, wasn't it? You know, you hear people say, oh, always trust your first impressions. No, don't do that. I mean, you can weigh your first impressions and consider them, but don't always trust them because that can lead you astray. You can assume the wrong things. Have you ever met someone and you kind of made assumptions about their personality by the way they talked or things they did, and maybe not in a positive way, and then you got to know them and you said, boy, my initial assumptions were way off base. Have you ever had that experience? I think we all have. Rely exclusively on your initial assumptions if you want to block off the miraculous in your life. Assumptions can lead us astray. When the 1960s ended, San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district reverted to high rent, and many hippies moved down to Santa Cruz. They had children and got married, but many of them didn't give their children traditional names like Melissa or Brett. Little children sprung up with names like Time Warp or Spring Fever. And eventually Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promise ended up in public schools. And that's when the kindergarten teachers first met Fruit Stand. The leaders thought the boy's name was odd, but they tried to make the best of it. Would you like to play with the blocks, Fruit Stand, they offered. And later, Fruit Stand, how about a snack? He accepted hesitantly. By the end of the day, his name didn't seem much odder than, you know, Heather or Sunray, you know. So at dismissal time, the teachers led the children out to the buses. Fruit Stand, do you know which one is your bus stop? He didn't answer. That wasn't strange because he hadn't said much all day. Lots of children are shy on the first day of school, but it didn't matter. The teachers had instructed the parents to write the names of their children's bus stops on the reverse side of their name tags. The teacher simply flipped over fruit stand's name tag, and there printed neatly on the other side was the word Anthony. Assumptions. Another story that illustrates assumptions: on one of his European tours, the master magician and escape artist Harry Houdini found himself locked in by his own thinking. After he had been searched and manacled in a Scottish town jail, he got in a little trouble with the law. He was put in jail, and the old jailer manacled him and then shut him up in the jail cell and walked away. Well, being the escape artist that he was, Harry Houdini quickly got out of his manacles. But then he went to work on the cell door lock and tried as he could. This expert escape artist could not unlock that cell door lock. And then, exhausted, he leaned against the door and it pushed open. The jailer had never locked it. You see, sometimes we find ourselves imprisoned by our initial assumptions. And we face a mountain, we face an obstacle, we face an impossibility, and we say there's no hope, there's no way out, there's nothing that can be done. And so we rely exclusively on our initial assumptions that this mountain is too big, this wall is too tall, this problem is too immense, and we give up. And we become frustrated because we say it's an impossibility, it can't be done. But let me tell you, we serve a God of the impossible. We serve a God who makes the impossible possible this morning. Amen? So we're all going to have initial assumptions. We're all going to see that mountain and have our eyes get big and say, hey, it's impossible. There's no way out. I just have to deal with it, or I just have to live with it. You ever say that to yourself? I guess I just have to put up with it. I guess this is just the way it's going to be. I guess there's just no way out, because we rely exclusively on our initial assumptions. But I'm here to tell you today that God is a God of the impossible, that God will blow your assumptions out of the water, literally, this morning. Hallelujah. And so when we see an impossibility, don't assume that that's what it is, because everything is possible with God. Don't rely exclusively on your initial assumptions if you want to see a miracle. What's the second thing that we often do that prevents us from experiencing the impossible? If you want to prevent that, do this: depend completely on your natural abilities. That's a good way to prevent a miracle. Depend completely on your natural abilities. In verse 28, Peter got this right. He said, Lord, because Jesus, when they said it's a ghost, Jesus said, take heart, don't be afraid, it's me. And so Peter said, Lord, if it's you, hedging his bet a little bit, if it's you, ask me to come out of the boat and walk on the water. Because Peter was asking for permission from the Lord. He was asking for verification that it was him. And he said, Lord, if you tell me, in essence, he said, if you tell me to get out of this boat and walk on the water like you're walking, Lord, I'm going to do it. What would have happened if Peter, and what's the ironic thing? How many know Peter wasn't the most, thoughtful guy ahead of time, right? We say Peter had foot and mouth disease, right? Peter was impulsive. Remember, he cut off the one guy's ear, and he rebuked the Lord, and all the, wouldn't let the Lord, all this kind of stuff. Peter was so impulsive, and yet in this one instance, while his impulsivity maybe led him to say, I want to walk on water, he first was cautious and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to go walk on the water. Because if he just got out of the boat and started trying to walk on his own ability, what would have happened? He would have sunk a lot sooner than he eventually did. Now, God gives us abilities. God gives us these things called brains, and he expects us to use them, How many know that? And so what we're not saying here is We shouldn't use the brains God gave us or the abilities God gave us and do what we know to do. What we're saying is that there come times, there come impossibilities in our lives when our natural abilities aren't enough. And I don't care how self-sufficient you are, you can't walk on water by yourself. Amen? If you want to block the possibility of a miracle in your life, depend completely and totally on your natural abilities. Chuck Swindoll once said, he said he accepted a speaking engagement among Christians involved in the 12-step and 12-step programs such as Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, as I talked with the attendees and pondered what to say, I finally decided on the ironic title of my message, Why I Wish I Was an Alcoholic. That's a strange title, isn't it? He said, it occurred to me that what recovering alcoholics confess every day, personal failure and the daily need for grace and help from friends, this represents high hurdles for those of us who take pride in our independence and self-sufficiency. Depending exclusively on your natural ability, your ability to figure it out, your ability to manipulate and arrange things and fix things, that's a sure way to block off God from doing the impossible in your life. A man once confessed to his pastor, my life is really in bad shape. How bad, the pastor said. He said, burying his head in his hands, he said, I'll tell you how bad. All I've got left is God. The pastor's face lit up. He said, I've got good news for you. A person with nothing left but God has more than enough for a great victory. Hallelujah. You ever feel like all you've got left is God? You've got enough. You ever feel like he's the only one you can turn to? You've got enough. Hallelujah. Like we sang this morning, Jesus, you're still enough. Listen to Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your natural ability will only take you so far. You may think you're the smartest person in the room, but let me tell you, there are things you're not smart enough to solve. There are mountains you're not strong enough to move. There are impossibilities you're not strong enough to conquer this morning. Hallelujah. Surefire way to block off the impossible is to, in essence, say to God, you know, God, I can handle it. God, I'll come to you when I have the big things. Pastor Tim, I would never say that to God. No, but our attitude sure does sometimes, doesn't it? God, I'll come to you for the big things. Can I tell you, they're all big things? We need God for everything. We need God for the big things. We need God for the little things and the in-between things. Are you here today or watching online and you've been trying to solve your problems in your own strength? You've been trying to throw that mountain into the sea through your own power and you found it's not working. Don't block off the miraculous in your life. Turn to Almighty God. Say, God, this is too big for me. I turn it over to you. I roll it over onto you. I cast my care upon you because you care for me. Hallelujah. Don't depend completely on your own natural ability. Turn it over to him. Depend on him because he can handle it. When it's too big for you and too big for me, he can handle it. Amen? What's the third way not to experience the impossible in your life? It's this. Shelter perpetually in your safe asylum. Shelter perpetually in your safe asylum. What's an asylum? No, we're not talking about an insane asylum, okay? Sometimes we wonder if we're an insane asylum, but I'm not talking about that. But asylum, when a political refugee comes from another country to this country, they often declare, if they want to stay here, they are seeking what? Political asylum. Asylum is safe, a place of safety. It's a place where you can't be touched. And so we're saying that if you want to block off the miraculous and the supernatural in your life, just stay perpetually in your safe asylum. It says in verse 29, Peter got out of the boat. He got this right. The Lord told him to come. It's all he needed to hear. He got out of the boat. Let me tell you, you and I may not think of a boat as a place of safety, but to the natural mind, a boat in the middle of a storm is a better place of safety than being out of the boat. Am I right? Why would he leave a place of safety? Why would he leave the best relative protection he could have at that moment? Because the Lord called him. Sometimes you got to get out of the boat. Sometimes when the Lord is calling you, you have to take a risk. You have to leave a place of safety. Playing it safe your whole life will prevent you from going where God wants to take you. You think about everything that's accomplished. Every great church that's been built, Christian university, even in the secular world, every business, every entity that's taken place, someone took a risk to bring that into being. Someone took a risk to make that happen. They left a place of safety, many times risked their entire fortunes, many times risked their entire futures because they felt they had a calling. They felt they had something worth getting out of the boat for. And if you and I want to stay perpetually in a safe place and not rock the boat and, you know, just be where we want to be protected all the time, we will miss out on the miraculous in our lives. On February 19th, 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernan Cortes sailed from Mexico with an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, and 553 soldiers. The indigenous population upon his arrival was approximately 5 million. So from a purely mathematical standpoint, the odds were stacked against him by a ratio of 7,540 to 1. Two previous expeditions had failed to even establish a settlement in the New World, yet Cortes conquered much of the South American continent. What Cortes is reportedly to have done after landing is an epic tale of mythic proportions. He issued an order that turned his mission into an all-or-nothing proposition. He said, "Burn the ships." And so they did. And as his 553 crewmen watched their ships burn, they came to terms with the fact that failure wasn't an option. Whatever metaphor you want to use, sometimes you got to get out of the boat, sometimes you got to burn the boat. Sometimes you got to get rid of plan B. And if you always play it safe, as I said, you will block off the potential of a miracle. My wife and I were in a very comfortable position. It was her home church. Her mom had been in that church her entire life. Sharon was in the church her entire life. We got married and ended up being on staff there. We were on staff there for 10 years. Great, great experience. And we were comfortable. And God began to stir our hearts. He said, "Go plant a church in Mount Vernon." "Lord, are you sure? We have it pretty good here. It was a big church. We had a good salary, family, friends. Our children were born there. We were comfortable." God said, "Go plant a brand new church in Mount Vernon." So we began the process. And we got a group together. We started meeting. And some of you know the history. We started meeting in the back of a carpet store. And God led us to Mount Vernon, then he eventually in 2003 led us to this beautiful facility. And we've had our ups and downs. We've shed a few tears here and there. But I've said this, some of you heard me say this, never one time in the lowest points of our ministry, May will be 30 years since this church was established, never even in the lowest points of our ministry have either one of us ever said to one another, "Do you think we made a mistake?" Leaving the comfortable, leaving the familiar. We've never said it once. Because God has been faithful. Hallelujah. And we could have stayed there on that staff position at her home church. We could have stayed there where it was comfortable, and we would have missed out on a whole host of miracles that we've seen God do. And let me tell you, I don't care how many down points there have been, and we've had a few, how many struggles there have been in the 30-year history of this church, I wouldn't trade them for 1 minute because of the miracles I've seen God do. Hallelujah. And the miracles I know He has yet to do in this church body. Hallelujah. But it would have never happened if we didn't leave the safety. Church, sometimes you got to get out of the boat. Sometimes you got to leave the familiar, got to leave the comfortable. You got to take a risk. If you hear the voice of God, if you know God is speaking to you, if you know God has something greater for you, listen, some of you know what I'm talking about. Whether you're here today or watching online, you're going along in your Christian life and you're serving God as best you can, and your life is just going on. But deep down inside you, there's a bit of a stirring. And sometimes you just try and brush it aside, but there's a stirring. God has more. God has more. And you just do your best not to come to terms with it, because you realize that if you give voice to that, if you listen to that, if you follow after that, that it's going to upset the apple cart of your life. It's going to mean you getting out of your safe asylum, getting out of the boat, getting out of your comfort zone. It's going to mean wandering out a bit into the unknown. But let me tell you, when the voice of God calls you, Almighty God will be with you. Hallelujah. I'm living proof of that this morning. And I would say to you, if you feel a stirring inside that God has more, and you know it will involve some risk, you know it will involve getting out of your comfort zone, you know it will involve leaving behind the familiar, I would encourage you at all costs, say yes to God. Say yes to God, because like we sang this morning, He's never failed you yet, and He never will. Hallelujah. Or, if you don't care about experiencing the miraculous, the impossible in your life, shelter perpetually in your safe asylum. That's a good way to prevent it. What's a fourth way to miss out on experiencing the impossible? Surrender repeatedly to your fearful anxieties. Surrender repeatedly to your fearful anxieties. Now, we all have anxieties, don't we? We all have things that make us anxious. We can't be faulted for that. That's a human quality. But we have a choice whether or not to allow ourselves to be overwhelmed, overcome by our anxieties. And a surefire way to prevent the miraculous, the impossible in our lives is to repeatedly surrender to our fearful anxieties. It says that Peter was walking on the water. You know, Peter gets criticized for falling down into the waves, but none of us, correct me if I'm wrong, and you know, see me after service, let me know if you've done some water walking lately. But none of us have walked on water. Peter walked on water. When did his trouble start? It says when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Now, he's walking on water, so he's doing pretty good. But then he looked at the wind, he was afraid. And what happened? He started to sink. And then he called, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved him. Now, He was right to call, "Lord, save me," because at that point he needed saving. But the point I want to emphasize is that he was walking on water till he focused on the wind. See, while he was looking at Jesus, he was doing fine. When he started looking at the wind, he gave in to his anxieties and he was overcome. Seth Stevens Davidowitz, writing in the New York Times.com, says much of America is anxious and worried. Now, this was from back in 2016, so a few years back. He had said at that time, "Over the past 8 years, Google search rates for anxiety have more than doubled. So far, 2016, he said, is breaking records for searches about travel anxiety, separation anxiety, anxiety at work, anxiety at school, and anxiety at home. In addition, we have also become increasingly terrified of the morning. Searches for anxiety in the morning have risen threefold over the past decade. But this is nothing compared to fear of the night. Searches for anxiety at night have risen ninefold." Now, that was 6 years ago. How much do you think the searches relating to anxiety have increased since then? Anxiety over COVID, anxiety over the economy, anxiety over racial strife, anxiety over politics, anxiety over you name it. We live in an anxiety-feeding frenzy. In his book, Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World, Max Lucado writes this. I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this, church. If you've heard nothing else I've said, hear this. He said this. He said, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. I love that. We all have anxieties. That's part of the human condition. But we don't have to be imprisoned by them. We don't have to repeatedly surrender to our anxieties. The Lord is one who can deal with your anxieties this morning. How many know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Scripture I quoted earlier, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Church, anxiety is part of life, but we don't have to give in to it. We don't have to surrender to it. We don't have to become imprisoned by it. When we turn it over to Him, you say, Pastor Tim, I get anxious and I don't know what to do. You need to turn it over to Him. You need to say, Lord, I turn my anxiety over to You. I cast my care upon You. Lord, I even if you need to do something symbolic to signify to your mind that I am turning this over to the Lord. I am not going to carry it. I'm not going to let it weigh me down. I'm not going to be imprisoned by it because the Lord has set me free from anxiety. The Lord has won the victory, and I'm not going to be a prisoner to my anxieties. But if we surrender repeatedly to our fearful anxieties, we will cut off the supernatural in our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want to put limits on Almighty God. And I know that even saying that sounds absurd, right? He's Almighty God. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. How in the world can we human beings put limits on Him? And yet we do. Yet we do. One place it said Jesus, in the Gospels, it said Jesus couldn't do any miracles there because of their lack of faith. You remember that? So even though He is sovereign, He's almighty, He can do whatever He wants, yet we can limit Him by our lack of faith. We can limit Him and not experience the impossible, the miraculous in our lives if we rely exclusively on our initial assumptions. This mountain's too big. This can't be solved. I'm going to have to live with this. This is just the way it's going to be. If we rely on that assumption, then that's the way it will be. We'll block off the supernatural. If we depend completely on our natural abilities and say, you know, I can handle it, and whatever comes my way, I'm just going to grit my teeth and I'm going to handle it. That works fine until you succumb to something that's too big for you. Or if we shelter perpetually in our safe asylum, if we stay in the boat, if we play it safe, if we never risk, if we never get out of our comfort zone, we block off the possibility of a miracle in our lives. Is Jesus calling you to step out of the boat today? Is Jesus calling you to step out of your boat of comfort, your boat of routine, your boat of the familiar, your boat of what you're used to, your boat of how you think it should be? Maybe it's time you trust Him enough to step out of that boat. To say, I'm not going to be imprisoned in my safe asylum. And then fourthly, we need to not surrender repeatedly to our fearful anxieties. Yes, we're human. Yes, we become anxious, but we don't have to give in to it. We don't have to be imprisoned by it. Because God wants to do a miracle in your life. Did you know that? God wants to do the impossible for you.